You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. He's with us this time to talk about Lion One Metals. We last spoke to Quentin about this company on August 3rd of this year, and they've had some pretty good news since then, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Tell you that Lion One Metals trades in Canada under the symbol LIO, LOMLF in the U.S., 156.2 million shares. I saw it trading at around 90 cents in U.S. money. Earlier today, that would give it a market cap of about $140 million. Well, it's a company that over the past number of years developed over quite a few years. In fact, I think I can remember maybe going back 10 years or so when the company first started to explore and develop the Tuvutu mine project at that time in Fuji. And it was very high grade. They did some early economic studies that looked very robust, but it was kind of on the small side. And now more recently, it seems as though the prospects for something much larger are there, which, of course, could make it a whole different story, one that I think is much more exciting than the initial story, as good as it was. Big is better than small for economies of scale in the mining business. And Quentin Henning is one of those people that really does focus on large-scale operations, so I'm sure that's one of the reasons he's really excited about Lion One. Thanks for joining us again, Quentin.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
It's always great to have you with us. And I do want to ask you about, there was some numbers that were put out not too long ago. I don't have the date in front of me exactly, but it was headline number was 8.48 meters grading 10.24 grams per ton. Tell us what the company's been drilling, both deep drill holes in the search for this large deposit, but it's also been doing some drilling in preparation for production, I believe, from its known deposit, the one that is that it outlined some years ago. Talk to us about what the company, what do you know now, and what has management learned since we last spoke on August 3rd?
Certainly. Look, there's actually three prongs to the exploration right now, and the company does have six drills on the property. So, you know, this is an aggressive program, and with a large number of drills, it gives them ability to tackle all three of these prongs. So, like you said a minute ago, the first prong is to do infill in and around the areas that they plan to go ahead and develop into their test mine, their test scale mine. This is kind of a short-term goal, you know, say in the next year and a half or so, they anticipate going ahead and developing a mine that maybe does 300, 350 tons a day, something like that, as a proof of concept of being able to mine these high-grade veins. All right, so that infill drilling is very important. The headline hole that you mentioned, the one that was about 8.5 meters at a little over 10 grams per ton, was a result from that drilling. And they're seeing a lot of numbers, you know, high-grade numbers like they have in the past. So you can look through the news release, and you can see there's a lot more beyond just that one.
Yes.
So, okay, so that's the first prong, and that's a very important prong at this point for the company because, you know, this is a big step for the company to make this commitment. But they do have ongoing drilling of the deeper high-grade feeder that was encountered last year. So to kind of, you know, turn the clock back a bit and remind people, the company encountered a very high-grade structure nearly 200 meters below the existing Tuvutu resource. It was an intercept that was kind of astounding. It was about 12.7 meters of 56 grams gold, and it told us that there was a high-grade feeder structure, likely feeding all of the shallower high-grade veins that constitute the resource. All right, but the drilling that's been done since then, including more recent holes, is starting to expand that zone. It's starting to become clear that this is a pretty robust structure. It's starting to show good continuity down dip, along strike, and it's basically remains wide open in those directions as well.
Mm-hmm.
The drilling that's been done here recently also hit some very nice numbers. I think 3.7 meters of around 25 grams per ton. Mm-hmm. And it really is starting to hold together. Like all of the drill holes down in that regime are seeing high-grade mineralization of this type. It's really some of the highest grades that have been seen of any of the lodes on the property. And it's, you know, it's a pretty stout structure. It's a bit wider and a bit more, we'll call it beefier than what you see up top. So this is a very encouraging outcome. That is a main focus for the company because it is immediately below the existing resource and it could play an important part in developing a mine. So this is the second goal. The third goal, the third prong of their exploration, is to test the Greater Nevalaw Complex. Okay, the system at Tuvatu is basically in the southern third, we'll call it, of the Nevalaw Caldera. The Nevalaw Caldera is a volcanic edifice, if you will, that's not all that old. It's about 4.5 million years old, but they've only explored a very small part of it so far. So the company is starting to apply drilling to new targets, in particular Banana Creek right now, where some deep holes are being put underneath areas where a lot of surface samples turned up high-grade veins, similar to Tuvatu. So there's one area, but they'll test other targets over time, especially in the areas between Banana Creek and Tuvatu. There's roughly 3.5 kilometers distance between those, and there's a lot of areas where high-grade surface samples indicate there's high-grade veins, you know, Tuvatu-style veins. So the goal here is to see if we do have what could be a multi-million-ounce gold system through that kind of, we'll call it greenfields-level exploration.
Mm-hmm. All right. So does the company have in mind a time for the test mining when that might get underway? They have permitting, I think, permits in place, right?
They do. The Tuvatu mining lease is fully permitted.
Mm-hmm.
And they're moving now towards, well, if let me back up just a second. They added some personnel back in August. Very critical step for the company. They basically appointed COO, Chief Operating Officer, Patrick Hickey, to their team. Patrick, I've known for many years. He's worked at Newmont and built and ran Batu Hijau, which is a mine in Indonesia. He also worked for other major mining companies, including Sumitomo, and helped build the Imbatabi mine in Madagascar. So if there's one thing Patrick knows how to do, it's build mines.
Wow.
In remote areas, you know, particularly islands. All right, so this is a great addition. And then they've added Sergio Catalani, Vice President of Exploration. Sergio is very accustomed to drilling out advanced stage projects like this in preparation for mining. He's worked for Osisko. He's worked for more recently for Castle Mountain, drilling out what is now Equinox's deposit.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's a great addition here. So they beefed up their team, and the timeline that you asked about is now being set. Okay, I would say they're not quite having official dates in place, but I would say in the next year and a half, maybe two, they anticipate having a small-scale test-scale mine in place. And this, again, on the order of 300 or 400 tons per day, but should be cash flow positive, produce on the order of maybe 25 to 30,000 ounces, and importantly, can be expanded. It's designed so that it can be upscaled, you know, dependent on the success of the test level operation.
Mm-hmm. It's very rugged terrain there, I believe, isn't it, Quentin? And in terms of being able to build a mill that's big enough to handle everything, I guess that's all been engineered and figured out, or we wouldn't be talking about testing,
yes,
test mining.
The test scale, again, 300 or 400 tons a day can easily fit on the existing already prepared mill site. Okay, they've actually laid out the compacted earth foundations and stuff for a mill site there. That's no problem. In fact, the thing can be upsized once time comes too. There's plenty of room. It is rugged terrain. But there is enough, plenty of room to operate here. You know, they've got room for their portals. They'll have probably two declines down into the mine to access the ore body. They've got mill site already prepared. This is really a project that's you could even call it maybe 20 or 30% on its way to full construction.
Mm-hmm. And the company, as I understand, is well-funded with something like $56 million. So how far will that take them?
Yeah, that's true. They got a lot of money through the financing they did last year. They also saw a warrant exercise. Put them in a really good position, around $56 million Canadian. And that that money will allow them to explore and also undertake most of this test-scale mine development over the next couple of years. So that leaves the company with, you know, say a couple of years before they need to go seek finance. The questions around costs for a test mill and so forth mm-hmm. haven't been entirely settled. You know, mm-hmm. they're working on the costs and engineering around that. Once that decision is made, then we'll have better sight on exactly how much money is going to be required to build a mine.
Mm-hmm. And probably you're going to test mining operation, and then obviously we're looking at something potentially much bigger than that. Well, just in summing up here, Quentin, what would you say the investors should keep their eyes on, and what should they be watching for?
Yeah, look, there's because we have a lot of exploration, there's going to be a steady stream of results coming out for the foreseeable future. They got all the rigs operating. COVID is well under control now in Fiji. You know, it was locked down pretty tightly, but now the country has undertaken a lot of vaccinations, but they've also seen a wave of COVID. Basically, they're kind of in the position, kind of like the United States, where they're in open-up mode. Mm-hmm. So that's really good. It means we can continue exploration, see a lot of news flow from that. But then here soon, probably in the next couple of months, you'll start to see some more data and information about moving towards that test scale mine. I think you'll start to see some news flow around that, as well as the costs and so forth. So it's a lot of excitement to look forward to. It's a company that's really moving ahead in spite of current conditions, and I think we'll be very successful at building a small scale mine, which can grow and become a much larger scale mine over time. And we really have to do that exploration to make sure we see sight on rock to build that kind of a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the economics of scale are very dramatically improved with a larger, higher grade deposit than a small, higher grade deposit. But very, very good grades there. I think, do you recall what more or less what the average grade was in their preliminary economic study or their
They announced a preliminary economic study back in, I think it was September of last year. It was a revision over the previously done study. And I believe that the grades, anticipated grades, this is with dilution and so forth, are on the order of 8 or 9 grams per ton.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this high-grade feeder that's been found at depth, if that comes into the picture, that could be a pretty big game changer. You know, you could see significantly higher grades if that comes into the story.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it go at that. Quentin, thank you very much for that update. It is a story that, like many of these junior mining companies, the share prices are really down a lot from where they were. And I don't think there's anything on the economic horizon that suggests that gold isn't a good thing, a good asset to own now. It's very depressed compared to most others. And like many others, it's real. It's tangible. And somebody pointed out the other day that the only asset that you can buy that doesn't have some sort of risk with energy is gold or maybe silver. But, you know, if you want to buy Bitcoin, you better have electricity, you know, so almost everything else. So I think that's people have to keep that in mind. And, it said when nobody wants them, that's the time to buy them. I think it was Bernard Baruch said, and he was successful because he bought them when nobody else wanted them and he sold it when everybody wanted it. So maybe now's a good time to look at these. Thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us. All righty. Folks, so we do have to go to break now, but John Rubino will be back with me after we come back. So don't go away.
Lion Wine Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.